Well, hello everybody. This is Douglas Newsom with Zen Ways of the Sunday. Welcome to my show. I'm excited to be here today talking with you all. We've gone through, you know, I'm going to start this show out by telling you a little bit about what's happening with BBS Radio. BBS Radio is going through a lot of wonderful changes, and I encourage everybody to continue following their shows. But one of the things you'll notice is while the construction's going on, we're moving everything from blogging service to BBS Radio as the URL of preference, which I think is going to make a big difference for the company. We are excited also about putting in automatic archiving software, and that's up and in. I wish they had automatic linking software, but until they get that, we're going to have to do that manually, but things are going to move much, much quicker. Over the years, my brother and I have been probably witnessing a great number of changes occurring in human thought. Even within ourselves, I see a great conscious shift towards spiritual enlightenment. I don't want to define either spiritual or enlightenment, but let's just say a more conscious choice to seek answers on inwardly and not be looking for answers from every other source, but really thinking outside the box. And I see that in youth to the nth degree. When I was in L.A., I got back from L.A. about 12 days ago, and I met three people. I'm almost 40. And I met three young men, one who was 20, one who was 23, and one who was probably around that age. And they shocked me. It takes a lot to shock me. I am very, very quick to understand things and feel people's energies. But these three young men took me to a different understanding of where people are today. And they all came in one group. They were so deep that they resonated only wellness, well-being, love, and good tidings to every person that was in their energy area. I mean, where you could feel it or see them. And I'd never seen this before, not in a 20-year-old. The 23-year-old gentleman had the ability to let go on such a level. When you reach higher awareness, it's a process of letting go. That's so important to understand it. And to even hear those words, you've got to take them on a feeling level to take them deeper within the psyche to really grasp that. If you're letting go to higher energies, your fear might be fear of loss of your self-structure or fear of not existing after you reach a certain conscious level, your brain splits apart, or you go into a dimension which makes you singular and alone, or something happens, something takes you over and you don't understand it. So you're afraid to let go. You're afraid to trust in letting go. Letting go to the point where you're flopping on the ground like a fish screaming in a million different languages and not caring what bobbles out of your mouth. Well, that's pretty tough. That's almost like the feeling of a feminine love that your father wants to give you a big kiss and you go, But that's taking it deeper, taking the idea of love deeper, taking the letting go. And these young men can truly let go if they're inspired. Do you know, how does a man let go? Well, how deep can you love a person in the moment you're in front of them? Imagine this. Imagine you meet somebody new and you want to show compassion for that person. You just met them, but there's different levels of compassion upon meeting. Well, when you really let go, you trust in the impression, the feelings, the energy, everything within that moment without any bias or any judgment or anything. And sometimes that takes energy to put you aside, your ego aside, until you put it aside. And then you allow for a higher energy to come in and you just let go. You let go. When you meditate, you let go even farther. And these kids today, I saw one change in front of my eyes. I was speaking to them for about 15 or 20 minutes. And something reached inside of him. and started to change his, he looked at me with different eyes. He looked at, he spoke to me in a more beautiful understanding. You could see deeper within him that he didn't, that he was there, but something else was there. Something as powerful as his beauty was, that he could allow through. And that, for me, that was a first for me. I just witnessed that a couple of times in people that are quite spiritual, but this is just a young man waking up. And yet beyond that, his, on the side of true brilliance, I doubt he has a high school education, but he's truly brilliant. And he got there because he can let go, and he can love deeper. Letting go is just loving deeper. They're both. They're the same thing, kind of. I mean, when somebody tells me God is love, I almost sit there and I think, okay, well, creation is God, I guess. Okay, everything is God. I am is God. Is, how many words do you want to describe it? Love might be the best way we can describe its affinity to all its parts, and that representing a greater understanding to us, because love is that highest understanding, I think. But, you know, there's other understandings that, can God exist without love? Can people say God is love? God is love. Well, can God exist without the idea of love? I'm just being a devil's advocate. When somebody brings you any information, try to look at it in a lot of ways. Don't judge it. Try to look at it in a lot of ways. And then your mind opens up to new possibilities, not just the ones you read about or the ones you're told about. It really allows you to think outside the box. So, can God exist without love? Well, you could imagine yourself existing, couldn't you? I am. Can I am be there without that? Yes, but it may not be aware of all its part, but it can exist without love. Right? What's the opposite of love? Fear? Actually, it would be fear to that understanding of the word. We utilize that word as an opposite. Fear of death, fear of this, fear. It's just the opposite of love. That's kind of the spiritual polar opposite word. Well, fear, can I exist with just the understanding of fear? Yes. So never limit God to a word or a term or God or creation. It is everything. It really is. And so sometimes I want people to open up to that idea, even though it is of its highest understanding. You will love yourself more completely at that highest understanding, and that understanding will be embraced through all of your parts. And all of your parts, some are there negative that you don't tune into, and some are positive. But you are existing at all points through the brutality of it all, too. You are that. You don't associate with that. But if you truly are one with everything, you don't see yourself as apart from that. In fact, you might see yourself as a catalyst to that which you see. Or you are projecting truly what you are. A lot of questions to ask yourself. Last year in August, my brother and I started BBS Radio from Blog-In Service, really moving into the radio understanding of this and trying to bring these beautiful messages of a deeper meaning. Maybe it's just a deeper meaning to the whole of it, a meaning that you can latch on to without that can only empower you. And Don and I, that was kind of our mission to do that. During the process, just when I thought to myself that was going to be, you know, something I'd enjoy doing, over the past 8 months prior to that, I was really learning to open up my heart to simple ideas, simple understandings, which led me on to this entire shift in conscious thought. Actually, I reached a kundalini in August by stepping out of my bathtub. That's possible, by the way. You don't need to do anything. If you walk around, you can be in your higher thoughts all day. But it takes practice. When you're driving down the road and something ticks you off, it takes practice to say, I forgive them and I love them. That's the instant thing your mind thinks of. But you do that often enough, and that's how you start thinking, and it's just the opposite. You get ticked off once in a while, because your mind's always there. Your mind's put you in a different understanding. So your whole understanding shapes who you are. And the more understandings you pull out, let's say you're the devil's advocate and you have a point to make, but you can see a million different other points of it. Well, you get to grasp that tool to define yourself, whatever point of view that is. So if you can look at it with more points of view, you don't limit yourself to any one of them. Sooner or later, you don't have really any point of view outside of just experiencing all points of view. But that's for another day as we move into Zen ways. When I reached my Kundalini, one of the things that became abundantly aware to me was the idea of energy and what we really are at a basic level. So I find myself reading a lot more science journals. This was in the beginning, back in August, and I started reading metaphysical books. This was after my Kundalini. Be aware, I wasn't into this until after my Kundalini. I'm still not, but for the first few months after Kundalini, your brain starts to light up. And you start to think simply. Now you're aware. You are, but now what am I? Okay. In the very beginning, we go through this process in various stages. When you truly know you are, at a deeper level, then you try to define yourself even more at that deeper level. What am I? What do I stand for? What do I think? But all of that understanding is more broad in its scope. It says the more complex, the simpler it is, because everything is one. So how does that make sense? Well, how would it apply? And then you look at things in that way, and patterns start to make sense, and everything starts to become very simple. Then you just don't read anymore. It seems like you get to a point where the knowledge is really so simple at its basic level that things that make things complex, understandings that become very, very complex, you immediately know that, one, that's not the right way to put that information. You do. And two, your mind will understand simpler ways of connecting the dots. It'll just start thinking that way. You can't help it. And sooner or later, you just don't need those books and that information, because you realize that everything you read in a book and everything you're going to consume, from all the information from library to library, it can define you just like a culture can define you. Just like an environment can define you. It's all going to define you based on everything around you. Now, who are you? In many respects, in order to be everything around you, you have to know who you are to embrace everything around you. And how you do that is by going to the inside for reflection. Meditating, taking time out, and seeking the meaning to you of different things. Slow your mind down. Slow it down to the point where it doesn't even think any longer. All it does is receive. Like in a conversation, you can't learn when you're talking. Somebody else has got the talking, so you can pick up the new information. So you got to slow down. The ultimate slowdown, of course, is meditating and opening up your mind to everything. But you can slow it down even when you're driving in a car. You can slow your mind down long enough to ask it certain questions. How does it feel in this moment, and why am I angry? Or how can I prepare myself mentally for making everybody feel good? What would be the... Your mind's always going to be asking a million questions, but it's not going to be asking higher good questions. Oh, what's on the road? What am I thinking? Where am I going to do? Oh, my wife's going to be upset when I'm mad. It's going through a million things. It's not slowed down. So when you get mad, people get automatically mad in situations when they're in the cars because they haven't slowed down and thought about the ramifications of that thought. So we're thinking without really pulling anything from that, anything we can learn. It's kind of like an observation without really understanding what we're seeing. And when we finally do ask the questions of ourselves, what does that mean? How did I feel? Where does this take me? And it doesn't need to be that complex in every situation, but it will become more complex in time. You'll embrace a whole group of understandings within a certain feeling. but you've got to embrace your higher feelings consciously, step by step. And it's a habit. The thing that I ask myself is, what would be the highest good in the situation? Just a habit. What could I do to be of the highest service in this situation? Habit. What would love do? That's a very simple way of doing that. And sometimes it's hard. But when you're meeting somebody new, it's a perfect time to embrace your higher self. How could I greet this man that would be in the highest good of all parties concerned, which is your relationship? How could I, and ask for help? I know this is a whole nother practice, but you'll be able to do this because you'll have already done that. Again, it takes practice, like building on a layer of weightlifting. One day I'm working on this routine, and then, I'm adding in the running routine, and maybe I'll add in the swimming routine another, and then I'll add in my diet routine. But you can take it in steps, and this is how it really works. For me, it does. I mean, I'm sure that a person could embrace all steps at once and make it, wonderful for them, and they could do that, but I can't. So I took it step by step, and the first step was forgiving. Bear in mind, I reached a kundalini from stepping out of my shower. What's a kundalini? How does one explain something like that? It's something that's irreversible. It will change you forever, and it will change you to the point where you felt it at every electromagnetic current within each cell of your body. It wakes up. You feel that. And these are understandings that will help bring this about. If that's truly what you desire, some of these tools that I can share with you will open you up. Will open you up and break those blocks down maybe you haven't been to or thought of or tried to explore. And there'll be ways that over time, if you just continue to do them, miracles will happen. Even if miracles don't happen, miracles are happening. I can't, that's like, you're so, the worst, every day I'm surprised by this fact for my life since then. The worst thing could befall me that would literally devastate somebody and rip them in two, and yet I could only see a positive as a result. Not only that, the beginning was I could only see a positive, then I could start to use what I saw, then it was so immediate within me, I was almost elated for anything to occur. Change. Movement. Give me a negative, I'll make it into a positive. Up, there's a relationship about to really go bad, and I'm about to be hurt, and things are terrible. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it into a positive for me. What are the benefits here, or what's happening here, or how can I survive? How can I make that relationship turn 180 degrees, and in some way it fills my heart more? But there's always opportunity, and sooner or later your mind starts to see that, and then your life changes so rapidly because you're thinking that way and everything's positive. Remember, energy likes to be around its equivalent more so. That's why things condense, come together. Mass comes together. Well, when your energy is vibrating at a certain frequency, and that's just the spin of your atoms, basically. Okay? Based on that frequency, and the energy that travels out into everything from that frequency that you're spinning at, things will be attracted to you. And what are you most attracted to as a person? Well, probably something exciting, something positive, something optimistic, something of a higher nature. When we say higher nature, we mean something that's going to be in the highest good of all concerned, which is you, by the way. Highest good of all concerned is you. And your awareness to your parts. Because really, sometimes we—that's almost a. How does one put that? You are everything, but you'll get that more and more and more when you go inwards and you see yourself and who you are and you define yourself. You'll go outwards and you'll know that your definition will be broader. Your definition can't help but be broader of yourself the deeper you go. And it's like a layer. You're going to peel away onions. Even when you're meditating to reach new levels, let's say you want to be psychic. And you figure, this guy's corny on the other end. He says there's ways to become psychic. Yeah. For every single person. But it's a process of allowing yourself to let go and love. Let go and love. Let go and love. Let go and love. And then you've got to be open. After, just imagine, first you got to love. Let go. You gotta let go so it can, you gotta love, you gotta let go of who you are so it can come in you. Okay? Love, and you gotta let go of who you are. But you also have to understand that you're in a cooperation with that, with you. It's like your hand, you cooperate with your hand. It's not where your mind is, isn't it? But you can tell it to go up and down. There's a cooperation here with all things. So when you realize that you're quite, you gotta ask. If you want my cooperation, I'm in a room, you're going to ask me politely, or maybe you're not, but there's a cooperation of energy here. So when you want to reach a higher level of awareness, you've got to ask. And here's where people disagree. Some people would say, and there's no contradiction, I just want to share with you that there are points of view, and maybe they're confusing, but they shouldn't be. There is no confusing point of view in reaching your higher awareness. Some people believe that when you ask yourself, your higher self. And some people say that you have to ask different names, like God you have to ask, or you have to ask Archangel Michael, or you have to ask whatever. But you have to ask. Well, in truth, my exploration of this, I try to go straight to, I make it simple. In every way, if it's not simple, I don't understand why the complication. Because it is fairly simple. Remember, we're trying to get directly to source. We're not being like a church here where we're trying to throw a rock to the phone to get it off the receiver. So we have to use actually a phone to get to the source, right? No, we want to go direct. And if we go direct, we have to make the understanding that we can go directly to that. But sometimes we don't feel worthy. We need help. Sometimes there are going to be, and crossing higher understandings, sometimes asking yourself for help, you want to focus on a part of that self. I really recommend that you understand yourself both as a union and both as the current awareness of that union. You are total union, but you are the current awareness of that total union. So if you can define yourself based on any part of you. You want to be X part of you. You see this guy over there, and he's really cool, and he's a stud. You want that part of you? Well, boom, okay, now I define myself that way. But you're only pulling in certain conscious parts of you. Because you maybe haven't let go to the idea that you're everything. So when you move to that higher realm, in order to kind of balance your feeling of worth and your feeling of love and your connection with something, and you truly don't yet believe that you are totally perfect the way you are in that total union of oneness with God, well, one of the things you can do is ask for help from your parts, from your higher parts. And if your parts are of the same substance as my parts, if we want to get right down to the basic elements of hydrogen and helium and whatever else, your parts and my parts are basically of the same energy. Okay, we're both perfect, so we can connect to all of our parts. But our parts take on personas, just like another human being or a rock or another atom. Anything outside of your current, everything is a separate persona of you that you can identify with if you want to, and you can look in the world in that way. That's how we get deep with a person. We can say, I can live your experience. I can. You sit there and you imagine what it would be like to be in that man's shoes, and that's a source of awareness from you, from that person that you got without having to live that life. You can reflect on other things and other people's lives in such a way as to get that sort of an understanding. And when I connect, I don't need words. I feel that connection. So will you. You'll feel that connection. There won't really need to be words because you're just harmonizing with their frequency. It's an energy thing. That awareness will come. But initially, if you want to move up in the higher frequencies, you can ask for help. And you can identify with that help as an angel, as a spirit guide, as as an energy being of any form or fashion, I believe. Why limit yourself? What form do you want it to take? If you want to connect to our sun, who am I to say you're wrong? Honestly, who am I to say you're wrong? Because I could right now justify, through even science today, the understanding that energy being prime within all of us, the sun has more of it. Okay? That could give me a multitude of understandings and definitions in where what I believe. And I can make thought systems based on that. But really, when you move up in the higher realms, connect with your higher self. Embrace it and go into that and let go to it. And believe you're a part of the sun. Believe you're a part of Archangel Michael. Believe you're a part of the source. You are that beautiful that you are a part of all of that. Believe that it's coming into you because you want your awareness to broaden to that point of your higher self. So you join it. You cooperate with it. It filters into you. When a higher energy comes into you, I believe it really has to be, you have to be receptive and clear. When I mean clear, I mean you don't have any negative energy within you. You really opened up to allowing energy within you. And that energy will feel almost separate and distinct from you. But you've got to let go. You got to love. You got to let go. You have to ask. Even if it's your higher self, ask, ask, ask. Even yourself. When I go to the kitchen, In almost out of behavior, I don't ask myself, but I'm really asking myself, Doug, do you want to go to the kitchen? Okay, I'm moving towards the kitchen. So I can even ask myself on that level before it becomes an automatic connection to me. Then I no longer have to ask because it's a part of the process. But you got to awaken those centers in your brain, just like you got to, when you're driving down the road or you're walking to work or you're meeting somebody for the first time, you're forgiving a negative impression, or you're forgiving something that upsets you. It's just a process, and you start doing that. And when you're connecting, when you're letting go in your meditation, you're letting go. It's a process. Peel the onions. Why am I not letting go? What am I scared of? Okay, I've reached a level where I'm afraid I'm going to black out. Ask something for help. Ask your higher self for help in that moment. Try to let go. Imagine your entire face being let go to the point where you don't feel it anymore. And you're just traveling out there. Your mind's going. Every time you're going blanker, but you're moving somewhere in your consciousness, and you're afraid that you're going to not find your way back. First, you should never have fear, and anybody who gives you fear, they're wrong. It's malarkey. But the fact that we do have fear, because when I go there, I face things and I'm always afraid of. It's not really a fear so much as a blocking, and I understand how to go past that blocking by letting go and loving deeper. See, you can overcome fears by loving. Do you have to address your fears? Here's a question I'd love to ask a million spiritual people. Do you have to address your fears? To awaken to your higher awareness, do you have to address all your fears? Is it important? Can you address a fear through love? Yes. So why would you be fearful? You could address any fear through love. Then fear is really has no association to it. Doesn't even exist for you. On this show, I'm going to talk about always, and it's usually about half past the hour, some of the epiphanies that I have reached just in the past couple of weeks. And there, I would encourage everybody, it's not really an epiphany so much as a broader understanding of belief in the possibility of positive change. In every day of my life, I'm shown the reason why I can believe that the world is going to be better tomorrow than it is today. And one of the things that caught my attention and made me feel so good that it was really a part of it was being telecasted on the medium of television, and that's global warming. Dan Brokaw, Saturday night or Friday night, there was a program on global warming, and it was a 2-hour special, and I thought it was magnificent. I really did. I thought, wow, if people were to, you know, reach out and watch this show and become aware of, you know, how it really, really works on a basic level, because I really believe that people are starting to get this, and the amount of changes that occur due to our level of awareness, if we don't change one thing soon, then it becomes almost compounded due to other factors. And it showed that. And I was very excited. But one of the things I was also very excited about was the fact that it showed the ability for people to change the way things are to reverse that. And how simple it would be. Simple, not complex. Doesn't have to be complex. It's really quite simple. And one of the simplest ways would just become aware, just tune in, just watch something that it changes the way you see things and makes you want to do one thing different that could change the outcome of where we are and where we're going. So watch that show. That really was an eye-opener for me. It wasn't an eye-opener. You know it. It was just an eye opener to see that it's being treated as a serious issue worldwide, across from one continent to the other. People are aware of it, and all factions of our education system, from science to mathematics, geology, we're exploring what's occurring, and we're seeking answers, and on a lot of different levels. And that's encouraging. The second thing that really was a deep change in me, and hard for me to talk about this, because each of us have areas which they need to explore, but I'd like to share this with you, because I think that each of us has to do this. I was thinking about myself, and who I was and defining myself a few weeks ago. And a person said, well, what's your value? What gives you value? To some degree, I mean, it should be very simple and I can go there, but one of the things I thought, I seem to have my value based on what I'm able to give. Okay. So I think of myself as being valued, like God loves me because I give so much. Right? That's one way of perceiving myself. And then I thought to myself, well, if I give to excess, what's occurring? I can't receive because I have an imbalance. This is the way the mind starts to process information, because it seeks a balance. And that balance then was, I couldn't open up to the higher energies, because I kept on thinking I owed. I owe, I owe, I owe. It's off to work I go. Think of that. If you feel you owe, do you think that would prohibit you from reaching a higher energy state? If you thought you were unworthy, what would you? What could make you feel like you're unworthy? The idea that you have to make money for the family, and you haven't lived up to that task as an income earner for your family. That alone, that situation alone could make you feel like you owe and you're not worthy. And then try to meditate. Go into those, family. If you feel those, and when you feel those emotions off, as most people don't even seek an answer to those emotions. They never meditate them out. Give them up. Let them go. That soon they become parts of the emotional residue in your body that's giving you problems on a physical side. Bottom line, that's really what occurs. You're emoting, your emotions are then leaving you. And it comes out in a physical way. The keys to peace, happiness, are spending time with yourself and loving yourself. And that means getting rid of all the feelings of unworthiness. And one of the ways is by getting rid of all the fears of guilt. And you learn to forgive yourself. Learn to go into that area within you that actually is deep enough to cry. That's a depth level. You might think that's hokey, I'm out there, what's he talking about? Because a man doesn't cry, right? Or whatever. But it's a depth. Many women reach those depths. And we often see, why are men and women different? And it really comes down to that ability to emote deeply. To reach, and you have to do many deep things to reach awareness. Awareness, it's like a, here's, what's awareness? And I want people to see this, because I think this visual awareness of who we are and our representation of everything makes sense, and it might be able to make sense to you. Imagine that everything around you is connected, and you're on a particular spider web, and you're one angle of that web, just an angle on the web. And I like to say this, my, what webs we weave. What webs we weave. Because if you can imagine, if your web, how would your web, would it be perfectly around you? Would it be perfect? Because you're a point, and everything around you would be balanced. So if your web's extending outwards all around you in a circle, you kind of have a balance, don't you? That would represent balance to me. But a person's normal web might be scattered, going up, like some spider webs are going up one branch and down another, and they may not be perfectly circular, they might just be, have one straight line to one point. Well, that's the web part that you've been working on. That's you reaching out to other conscious parts of yourself, and it's showing you your web right in front of you. What's inside is outside. Your web is right there, and you're creating something that might look different. But if I turn, let's say you only see the lines that you're drawing, zigzagging, that you're doing, and you've created half a web, and it's all lit with color. Well, if I turn on the fluorescent light, you'd see that you're on a total web. That's one big web. You're at the center of it. That's one big web. But we see ourselves as only a part of that web that is unique to us. And so it might look irregular. And I always say, well, my, what webs we weave. And really, that's because we don't see ourselves as being on a union with one thing, with one entity, with one existence, one, the idea of one, you, I am. And from there, expanding outwards. And if you expand outwards from there, everything out there is you. And the web is just your understanding at different areas of your totality. Maybe you're only aware of just the small, and I'd like to think of, if I was an angle with on that web, to reach another awareness of just another angle upon that web, which might be infinite of angle and infinite of size and infinite of 3D depth, that might represent all of the understanding of current ascension. Wow. You know, if I'm aware of just the ladder rung above me, and it's what we encapsulize through our awareness of all of understanding, even on a higher level, how big is this web? So even people that are embracing higher thoughts and linking with the total union, where are they on that web? How big can this web be? Is there only 7 dimensions? How about 1 billion? Are there only certain relative laws? I don't know. Certain dimensions? I don't know. I can theorize with the best of them, and I can come up with the same conclusions that they have. But then something will shock you, and you'll just say, maybe there's more. And you can always side on the more part when you're talking about infinity. When you're allowing non-judgment of any understanding. So it's kind of fun to think along those terms, being the spider web. Being that is your connective point. That's your sphere of influence. That's your plus and minus that you're aware of. And what you're aware of is caused by your desires or your attractions and your repulsions, your fears, your anything that you don't want. So you're attracting and repelling at the same time, and you're attracting and repelling what you're focused on, and that part of the web that you're focused on. So you might see a web above you, a line above you that you have an affinity towards, and that's all you really see. And so you see yourself as this angle, singularly alone, with a web above you and apart and distant from you. But if you just started taking that line around and weaving it around, you'd notice that that's really just one big web, and you're just recognizing that you're a part of it. And you're recognizing that you see yourself in infinite part, but that you can touch those aspects of yourself. And that just might be, in my way, one rung above. So in spiritual thought, never limit yourself. Never allow anything to limit you. Don't allow books to limit you. Go explore. There are plenty of tools out there, and there are no masters. You're the master. You're the master of your own understanding, and that should be the way it will be. I hope that's the way it'll be for everybody. They become aware of that. Right now, they aren't the masters of who they are. They're more puppets to everybody else who thinks they know who they are. And they individualize to that degree, and they don't become aware. Folks, this has been Zen Ways. I'm glad I got to spend this time with you. I'm glad you showed up. Please tune in next week, and I'll try to fill you in with some of my daily understandings and reflect on things in a way that will really empower the listener, just to at least explore a little bit of these notions. They'll wake you up. They'll wake you up. And they'll make you think different. And your life will be better. It'll be more peaceful. It'll be more loving. And that's not so bad. It's just a higher way of being. I love you all. Until next week, take care.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program. And we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.